In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The text this morning is Psalm 46, the first verse. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. There are events that make even a seminary professor reconsider his preset agenda. Certainly, yesterday's events have done so for this particular preacher this morning. In fact, the wonderful sermon I thought I had prepared no longer seemed to mean what it meant last week when I wrote it. So I was busy in my study last night rewriting a sermon. When I was done, I picked up my 7-year-old daughter, and she looked at me and she said, "Daddy, are we going to have a war?" Suddenly that sermon too no longer seemed to mean what it had meant just hours before. And so this morning I come to you to speak, and not absolutely sure what I'm going to say or need to say. Some of you, probably most of you, are too young to remember the days of what history books now call the Cold War. I do remember those days. I remember as a child growing up on U.S. Air Force bases with a theory which was probably quite correct, that if a nuclear weapon exploded, it would explode there at that base. And so we regularly went through drills in school in which they would tell us that we were to hide under our school desk. And so we drilled and we hid under the security of a child's desk. When one begins to think about that, it becomes apparent that should a nuclear weapon explode, a child's desk will not offer any protection. But somehow, we were to drill. And drill we did. The events yesterday in New York City, Washington, D.C., Pennsylvania, show that we live in a very dangerous world, a danger that is perhaps more clear and present than any threat that never materialized during the Cold War. And there's not even a child's desk to offer the illusion of safety and security. In unbelievable terror, thousands have lost their lives in this unparalleled act of terrorism. And it is not distant from us. Members of our own seminary community, we now know, have relatives and friends, and their fate is unknown. And so the question, in the midst of all this, where do we find protection? Is there any safety? And the answer is a resounding no. If we look to safety through devices of our own, if we look for a child's desk and think hiding under that desk, we are safe and protected. And frankly, we Americans are burdened by the greatest illusions. Oh, sure, we pick up the paper and we read about horrible atrocities in other parts of the world, in Rwanda, in the Balkans, in many other places. And then we calmly put down the paper and go back to dinner. It's far away, it doesn't affect us. We were all radically affected not too many years ago with the Oklahoma City bombing, but it was quickly over, and it had become just a distant memory. Things went back pretty quickly to normal for the majority of us. And we look for school desks to hide under, and we create them. We think we're the only superpower left in the world. No one would dare to attack us, especially on American soil. We think we have financial institutions that are the very lifeblood of the economy of the world. Surely it would be economic suicide for anyone to attack those who hold financial sway over you. We go to airports and we think we have security systems. We have guards, metal detectors, endless annoying questions from the ticket agent when you go to pick up your ticket. We think we're safe. We're secure. We have a good, solid desk that we can hide under. And all those meant as much yesterday as did that desk of my childhood. Suddenly, we see just how vulnerable we all are. Think, well, we have other desks to hide under, don't we? Our culture tells us we do. Why, we have abortion on demand. We have freedom of choice. That's a nice desk to hide under. We allow pornography to fill the airs. And we call it freedom of expression. It's another nice desk to hide under. We've excluded God from the public forum. I'm not sure what kind of desk that has ever been. We allow dishonorable, deceitful people to govern. And we say it's okay because our paychecks are secure. And we're leading a good life. Brothers and sisters, what is true in the culture, though, is most sadly also true in the church. We pass grand synodical resolutions about evangelizing the world. And then we cut the budget of missions. We speak boldly and strongly on all sorts of social issues. But then we remain silent on those very issues when we leave the safe confines of a convention hall. We bear Christ's own precious gifts of word and sacrament. But then we're so anxious that nobody think ill of us that we refuse to speak directly into the heart of life as our hearers actually live life. And we adopt the forms and style of the world around us until finally the church becomes almost indistinguishable from the culture from which we are called to call others. Some years ago, when I was a brand new Navy chaplain, I was assigned to go to sea on a frigate, a very small ship. I shared a stateroom on that frigate with a gentleman whose job happened to be the weapons officer of the ship. That meant he was in charge of everything on the ship that goes boom. And he was working very, very late, as you tend to do on a ship, in our little stateroom at his desk. And next thing I know, I hear him cursing and swearing. So I'm up on my rack, my bed, so to speak, draw back the little curtain, and I look at him, and I say, "What's wrong?" He said, "I wish we had a war going." I said, "You do? Why?" He said, "Because when we're at war, we do our job. When we're not at war, we do paperwork." The church is at war and does not even know it. And we're doing paperwork. Think about that. How safe we think we are. Even in the church, as we hide under those little desks that we construct. And suddenly, we're confronted with yesterday. The reality is, though, that there's nothing that we can do as a nation to truly protect ourselves from these things. And as we look at it, the horror of it strikes us again and again. And again, that question. If none of these things can protect us, where is our refuge? Is there any place of safety? Is there some place that is not just a child's desk? A place in which we can know we are sheltered. God, the psalmist says, is our refuge and strength. A very present help in trouble. There, in Him, is the only protection a human being can know. He is the only one who can resolve that great need for shelter in what has always been and always will continue to be a frightening, sin-sick, hurting, broken world. For it is into that world that God sent His own Son. He sent Him to share fully in that experience which has shaped our lives even yesterday, in all the pain and suffering that a fallen creation brings upon itself. He came not to condemn those who know the agony of sin and its awful consequences, but rather to bear it on behalf of all mankind. That is the message that God sends His pastors out into the church and into the world to proclaim. Christ has united the world to Himself. In all of our pain and agony, in all of our sin, yes, even the sin of those terrorists who committed those acts of atrocity yesterday. Upon the cross, all the pain felt by all of us who groan and labor and die in a sin-sick world was borne by the Holy One. And when Christ rose, His resurrection announced to you and to me God's great, all-encompassing, all-powerful absolution. It says that your sin is gone. And that no matter whatever happens to you or to me in this world, we belong to the One who is the victor over all things. That sin, death, and hell are truly defeated by the Son of God, this crucified one, this one of whom angels said, He's risen. Dr. Wenthe, as the divinely called spiritual head of the seminary, yesterday addressed us and reminded us that these things need to remind us also of what our vocation is. Those are words to remember. According to God's good and gracious will, He will send you from this place. He will send you somewhere out into a broken and hurting world where you will speak His divine and holy word. Where you will be given to your custody, to your care, to your stewardship, the blessed water of baptism, which in your unworthy hands will be placed the blessed bread and wine, and the word again. Your sin is forgiven. This is our shelter. This is our help in this time of trouble, in every time of trouble. The church is engaged in a war. My dear brothers and sisters, never forget, the war is already won. Christ is the victor. Jesus lives. And because he lives, you and I live also. This is our calling. Simply repeat again and again that message. And under the shelter of his wing, we all rest securely. Amen.